I do want to go today into a word, and we're going to start out in 2 Timothy. And I have a word I feel like today, and that's just simply fan into flame, okay? Fan into flame. I want to look a little deeper in what God may be saying to us today. But let me just pray over our time in the word, all right? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for what you desire to say to us today. We just pray, Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, that let your word become alive in us. And whatever you that we need to hear, God, that we grab hold of it. But your spirit, just highlight it for us. Your spirit, just let it kind of boom in our spirit that we know you're speaking to us the word, your word, Lord God. And that we find a way to apply it to our lives, to apply it to our situation, to whatever you're speaking to us, God. Give us ears to hear, Lord. We thank you, God, and we pray for transformation of hearts today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Paul writes Timothy to his spiritual son, okay? Timothy is Paul's spiritual son who came alongside of him through Paul's work, his missionary work. And Timothy comes to Christ and then joins the team and travels with Paul. And so here's Paul speaking to his son. Verse 5 says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Paul speaks to Timothy and says, Timothy, fan into flame the very gift of God that has been given to you. Fan it into flame. Why is Paul speaking to Timothy in this way? Why is he saying this? Implicit with what he's saying to Timothy is, Timothy, there's more. There is more. There are things ahead. What we have gone through, we've gone through a lot. We've been through a lot. We've journeyed a lot together. But there's so much more. And Timothy, you are very important. You are very important. The mission that we have is very important. There's more. So walk in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit of God, full of power, full of love, and full of self-discipline. This is the Spirit of God in you. And he tells Timothy, don't give in to timidity. Now, which is implicit to say that Timothy was tempted in his own maybe personality, in his own personhood, to give in to timidity. Maybe Timothy was naturally a timid soul. But he says, don't give in to timidity or passivity. See, Paul, at this point, is at the end of his life. He's kind of approaching the end of his journey. This is understood that 2 Timothy was written out of prison when he was in prison in Rome. And this was coming to his end. He knew that his end was coming very soon. He had done much great work. And Timothy had been a part of that. And he had brought young leaders, because we understand that Paul had poured into Timothy as a young leader. And Timothy was one of those young leaders who was to carry the gospel forward. Because he knew that his work was coming to an end. Who would carry it forward? People like Timothy. And he also knew, and Timothy knew too, that following Christ came at a cost. It was costly. Paul was in jail. Both Timothy and Paul had experienced persecution going through Asia and throughout the Roman world at that time. They'd experienced persecution. And there was suffering. And Paul knew there was more suffering ahead. There was more to come. So it was not time to be passive. It was not time to be timid. It was not time to back up. No, it was time to fan into flame the very gifts that God had entrusted him. and to trust God in all things. And don't let hard things cause your light to grow dim. Paul continues in the same chapter in verse 13. He says, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." There had been a great deposit given to Timothy. And it was important for him to guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, to take care. To take care and to tend to that which had been deposited in him. See, it wasn't just the gifts that he had been given for the purpose of the missionary purpose that they were given. It was the very gospel, the message, the good news of Christ that he was to live and purposed the very working of God in him and through him. This work that Paul had begun was to continue, and people like Timothy. So he was to give time, he was to give attention, he was to give priority, he was to take good care of what was entrusted into his life. The same gospel is entrusted into us, into each one of us. The same deposit has been given to us. That we're to walk faithful, as faithful believers, together, fulfilling Christ's work in us and through us. Just as Paul tells Timothy, there's more. There is more, Timothy. There's more to come. Don't back up. Don't be timid, but fan into flame. He's telling us the very same thing. There's more. So there's a calling today for us, for each of us, individually in the church, to keep the fire burning. There's a calling today, church. Keep the fire burning. Our spiritual lives, our God-given gifts, and our God-given dreams. The gospel message in us and through us, keep the fire burning. Now, I've learned a few things about fires. And maybe you know some things about fires. Maybe you can go back to your Boy Scout days or, I don't know, Girl Scout days. Do y'all learn about making fires? We see, we have this wood stove at home. It's a Fisher wood stove. And during this winter, we've used that thing because it's gotten cold. I mean, there have been some cold days this winter. And so instead of trying to run off the HVAC, which, I don't know, that thing is never stops on those really cold days, you get the wood fire going. And if I do it right, I get that thing over 500 degrees. It heats the whole house. It really does. The heat just rises up throughout the whole house. And so I've learned something about fires, okay? If you get a good fire going, you heat the whole house. And you know, I actually like the smell of fires. I don't know about you, like when you step outside and somebody's burning a wood fire, it just smells good. It fills the neighborhood, you know? So I'll actually make a fire and then I'll actually step outside in the cold weather. Instead of getting warm, I just enjoy the smell in the neighborhood. There's also one thing I've learned about fires. And I didn't have to go to college to learn this. But if you do nothing, the fire burns out. Did you know that? No, I didn't have to go to college to learn that. But I learned that if you do nothing, the fire burns out. And in order to keep the fire going, you have to tend to the fire. You can't just sit idly by. You have to tend to the fire. And I'm not talking about if some of you have those fancy fire things that just automatically just does its thing. I don't know. Maybe it spits out its ash and just reloads itself. I don't know. But mine doesn't do that. You have to tend to the fire. So I have to poke it. I have to stir it. I have to add wood to it. And if you don't, the fire goes out. But there's another thing I learned along the way, and there's another little word in the midst of this, is that at night, when I put, before I go to bed, putting some logs and just filling it up with some logs so they could burn overnight and still create heat, inevitably, in the morning, it's all burned down. Okay, the logs have burned overnight, and then I get up in the morning and it looks like it's just ash. But what I realize is that even under the ash, there are coals. They're just covered up with the gray stuff. But if you stir it up and dig it around, you'll see some burning coals underneath. And if the coals are still alive, you can do something. You can fan it into flame. So Ian and I had fun with this. He got a little kayak paddle. Okay, little kayak paddle, and he had just fun with this, and he just started fanning it into flame. We put some new wood, new dry good wood on there, and put it on the coals and started fanning it into flame. And sure enough, when you get that thing fanned right, it will burst back into flame. You know where I'm going with this. Because the ramifications for our spiritual life are just the same. We need to tend to the fire. We need to fan into flame. Why do we need to fan into flame when it comes to our spiritual lives and our walk with God? Because we know that sometimes the walk with God is not a linear pathway up, and where things just get increasingly always better and better. You know, there's the highs and the lows. There's the difficult times. There's the good times. There's the challenging times. Because in the Christian walk, sometimes what used to burn hot and bright, what was powerful and central in our lives, can grow dim. Sometimes we don't like to admit this, but sometimes a coolness in our heart overshadows that which was once burning bright. The giftings of God growing dormant in our lives because they're not really being used or utilized. A passion for God and serving God has somehow grown diminished in our lives. Love has grown cold and life has less purpose than it used to be. And sometimes we might just find ourselves and wake up one morning and just realize, I'm in survival mode. That's what I'm doing. I'm just living, but I'm not sure what I'm living for. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that place. I know there's been times in my life where I wasn't burning bright and hot, where it was dim in my life, and my faith wasn't very strong, and I wasn't really serving the Lord or giving my gifts for His calling in my life. Maybe you could say, I was in survival mode because I was existing, but I didn't seem to have a whole lot of purpose. I don't know. I've been there. Maybe you have been there too. Maybe you find yourself there now saying, Lord, I'd like to have greater purpose in my life. There's things that have grown dormant in my life. There's things I know I need to do to fan into flame. Sometimes our fire goes out, or sometimes it grows dim. And it's a calling for us to tend to the fire. To tend to the fire so that a new fire will come forth. You know, sometimes it takes others to help us. To help us fan into flame. It takes sometimes the flame that's in other people to help us catch fire again. Sometimes it takes others helping to rekindle that fire. You know, it's good to be around people who have a passion for the Lord and to let what's going on in their heart, their passion for God, to catch a hold of us. So it doesn't work well if we isolate ourselves. It doesn't work well if we neglect the fire. Let us tend to the fire. Now, we can talk about the giftings in our lives, We can just simply talk about our spiritual passion, our spiritual heart, you know, what's going on in the inside of us. But, you know, we could also talk about things like dreams. Dreams that we've had, dreams that have been in our heart, dreams that God has deposited in your heart, even things that God has stirred in you that are given specifically to you. Because what's been given specifically to you is unique to you. Have you ever had a dream squelched in your life? When your heart said yes, but nobody agreed with you? Nobody. In fact, people would direct you away from that dream. Oftentimes this happens young in life. Maybe your dream was crazy. Maybe it was outlandish to others. Maybe it had flaws. Maybe it was downright dangerous, but it was your dream. It needed cultivating. Okay? It needed shaping. It needed maturing. As I speak of that, I think of Joseph in the Bible. Okay? We think of Joseph. Joseph had a God-given dream. Now, he, as a teenage boy, was not ready to fulfill that. He was absolutely a little bit haphazard with it. And how he shared it and what he was doing. You know, his dream was real. It was for him. But it would take many years. We know we read the Bible, the story about Joseph. It would take many years for this dream to come to pass. Because there had to be a lot of maturing. There had to be a lot of shaping. There had to be a lot of cultivating of Joseph to fulfill this great dream. Where he could stand second to Pharaoh. And with incredible prophetic revelation and ability and authority, really be a savior as he would stand in this position that God gave him. You know, Joseph went through many hardships. And I would definitely say his fire grew dim. What was it like to be in prison? And your fire grow dim because you're not sure if anybody's coming to get you. That this may be it for you. You know that God gave you a dream. You know that God deposited something in you a long time ago. But you don't see how it's going to come to pass. You don't see how this dream that God gave you, that you were passionate about as a teenage boy, but everything in life has been on the downhill. And it doesn't seem like you can see, from your perspective, this dream come to pass. But you know, other people strangely saw the gifting of God in Joseph. You know, isn't it interesting that people pull on his gift? Even in prison, people are pulling on his gift. What do I mean? He has a prophetic gifting in his life. He can hear from God. He can see things from God. His gift is still activated even in prison. And he's using his gift even in prison. You know, there's a fanning of the flame going on even while he's there in prison. He's not wasting it. He's not just saying, okay, God, I'm not doing anything for you. I'm in prison. Until you get me out of prison, then we'll talk. No, he doesn't take that mindset. He serves. He gives. And in fact, he's given authority. Everywhere he goes, he's given authority. So people see in him what God has deposited in him. And of course, Pharaoh eventually sees that as well. And he becomes, and his dream is fully fulfilled. I wonder sometimes if we have that, where dreams have been deposited in us, and they've grown dim, and it just seems like the fire has gone out. But I want to say this morning, there's more. There is more. Don't let your dream be squelched. Don't let the very things that God has deposited in you. So what can be accomplished? What can be accomplished in your life? What can you do? Or maybe I should ask this, what have we given up on that we're not supposed to give up on? Because there's still some coals under the ashes. It's still there. The gift in us, the dream that God gave us, the calling we are to fulfill, the work of the gospel in us and through us. If we stop dreaming, we inevitably stop living. Or I should say, we just exist without any real sense of purpose. Pastor Mark Batterson from Washington, D.C., says it this way. He says, "We start dying the day we stop dreaming. And ironically, we start living the day we discover a dream worth dying for." I mean, I should say that again. We start dying the day we stop dreaming. And ironically, we start living the day we discover a dream worth dying for. Do you have something in your life worth dying for? That you would give your life for? Or are we just existing? We have to give ourselves permission to dream. You have permission to dream today. You have permission. If you need somebody to say that, I'll say it. You have permission to dream. Now you may look at me and say, "Mark, I'm too old to dream. I'm over the hill. It's passed me by. It ain't gonna happen." Now you may think that there's nothing else for you. Now I doubt that very much. Whether you believe it or don't believe it, I doubt that very much. But just say that even your dreaming days are over. What about the lives younger than you? What about the lives that you're connected with? What about the lives that you can speak into? What about the lives that you influence? Do they need to see you giving up on all dreams and just existing? Or do they need to see you as someone who believes you still have a dream within you to live out? And that you are someone that would also like to go around and fan the flame in other people, in others, in younger people, and people, generations, the next generations, that you wouldn't mind being a person to speak life into other people, to fan the flame in their lives, to see their gifts coming alive, to see their dreams take place, that somebody believes in them and what God has deposited in them. But you can't do that if you've given up on dreams. You have to believe there's things that God puts in us that we're to live out. You have to still believe that. And that no matter what age you are, there's more. There's more to do. And I'm going to come back to that. But let me just say this. Your words matter and what you can do. Because I tell you one thing that fans into flame, and this is true for every one of us, one thing that fans into flame gifts in us and others, in dreams and those type of things, is encouragement. Encouragement. Encouragement is literally like the fan on those coals to allow those coals to burst into flame. We all need it. It is like oxygen to the fire. We all need encouragement. Have you ever had somebody, you've had somebody who was like snuffing out the fire with their discouragement or their all the negative things they had to say or the impossibilities of, you know, just the practicalities and possibilities of the dreams and the things that are in your heart. We need to sometimes come back around and say, "God, what do you say? I've heard what other people say. I need to know what you say. And God, send me some people too who would speak your very words over my life." You know, God gives us, each of us, potential to do great things. You know, we don't have to be great in the world's eyes. You know, the world does not have to declare us great in any which way to do what God's called us to do and to do great things for God. Because we are treasured in His eyes, and the Lord knows our potential. He knows. He knows what we can do. He knows what He designed us for. He knows what He created us for. And do you know? Do you know that God sees things in us that we don't see? That we're sometimes not aware of? And that God's prophetic calling goes way beyond what we see in ourselves. Take someone like Gideon. Remember Gideon in the Bible? I don't think he thought himself so great. I don't think he thought that he could really do much. Now he, like all Israelites, were under oppression. Okay, they were being oppressed by this Amalekites. They were who were raiding and taking their land. I mean, people like Gideon and the Israelites, they were hiding. Because whenever the raids began, they had to go to the hills and hide. And Gideon did not know, though, that he had greatness in him. God sends a messenger to him in Judges chapter 6. God sends a messenger to Gideon. While he's hiding in the hills, he's just treading out the wine with the grapes and he's doing his work, kind of hiding away from the, and trying to hide the produce away from the raiding armies. But an angel was sent to him. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, probably don't say that right, but hey, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. You see what the angel's doing there? He's saying, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, that wasn't Gideon's name. He didn't go by that. But God was speaking identity to him. He was speaking, this is how I see you, Gideon. This is how I see you, so I am calling you by your very identity. God sends a messenger to Gideon to call out something that was in him. It was in him. Now, Gideon was mad. He was upset. He was fuming. Yes, he would love to go and defeat these armies because he was mad that his people were oppressed. But he certainly didn't see that in him was the kind of leader that could lead his people to overcome the enemy. And so God speaks this over him, that Gideon needed to see this. It didn't happen right away. Gideon had to kind of walk, have some conversation back and forth. We're not going to go into all that, but he had to go back and forth, and he had to do this fleece thing. And all this time, he was like, am I really who you say I am? And when he finally accepted it, the victory started to take shape. You see, when we start to accept what God says about us, when we start to accept the gifts he's given to us, when we start to utilize and become the person that God says that we are, is when the victories start to form and take shape. Because until then, things are still in a distance. There's still possibilities. There still can be's. But the reality is stepping into the very thing that God has called you to be. Let's just say this. We all need a bigger vision to see beyond what's right in front of us. Because sometimes that's all we see. We just see what's right in front of us. We don't see the bigger vision. God does. And the bigger vision is not the bigger car and the bigger house and the better paying job and all that kind of stuff. I mean, great. Those are blessings. Wonderful. But the American dream is small to God, if that's what we're living for. God's dream is so much bigger. It goes way beyond that. So can we see God's plans, and can we see us in God's plans? Do we see ourselves being used by God, having an impact in the world around us? We all need people who believe in us. And we need to hear God's word over us and apply them to our lives. Part of this is we need to encourage ourselves. Philippians 4:13. You probably memorized this. I can do all things, right? I can do all things. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And when Paul says this, he's talking about he's experienced the highs and he's experienced the lows and he's learned to be content in all things. He's suffered for the Lord. He's experienced all sorts of things and he's learned to persevere and to still accomplish his calling to be a missionary to the Gentiles. And so he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Through it all, he found his source in God. Encourage yourself in the Lord. I can. In him. is possible. And we need encouragement of others. Hebrews 10, verses 23. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Encouraging one another all the more as the day of his coming is approaching. All the more, encourage one another. We've got to fan the flame on each other, to encourage each other. There is more in you than sometimes you believe about yourself. There's more in you, and there's more for you to do. Encouragement is like fuel for the fire. We can be used of God. God has given us gifts, and he's given us words to use. We can bless others with our giving, our thoughtfulness. We can fan into flame other people's lives. Our words matter. They matter to us. They matter to others. And you know what? When you see good in others, express it. There's almost nothing worse than the words that need to be said that are never said. Sometimes people don't know. But when you tell them, it's a blessing. Or maybe they do know, but they need to hear it again because they're having a bad day. And they just need to hear it again. You're valuable. You have purpose. You're a blessing. God's got this. You're going to get through this. There are better days ahead. Sometimes we just don't see it. And we need other people to help us to see it, especially in those bad days where it seems like the ash is just covering the coals. A lot of times those days are days of failure, you know, where it seems like nothing can go right. And it seems like we try and we work at it, but it just doesn't come about. You know, there's people like Abraham Lincoln who knew about failure, right? Well, you know the great successes of his life, but have you read about his life? And you know the great failures of his life? The elections he didn't win, the businesses that did fail. He wasn't always successful. He had a lot of failures. But he wrote this. He says, "My great concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you are content with your failure." Are you content with your failure? We all fail. Thomas Edison failed 2,774 times before he got the right light bulb, the one that worked. You know, at age 7, Edison was told by his teacher that he was mentally deficient. And you know what? He didn't fit a mold. He didn't fit a mold. Because truth was, he was actually, looking back, people think that he was dyslexic. And he was known to ask a lot of questions because it said that. Even the teacher sent a note home. It says he asked too many questions. And he couldn't sit still in class. He was just too much energy, too much going on. But the environment was strict. The educational environment was strict. And you know what happened? His mom said, "Okay, if you can't educate him in your school, then I'm going to educate him at home." And that's what he did. Thomas Edison was homeschooled. He learned math and reading and all those things. And his mother's persistent belief in her son made all the difference in Edison's life. Her words were like fanning the flame in his life. And he was a genius, an absolute genius. I wonder the importance of encouragement and fanning the flame in other people's lives. You may think it's too late to start, that your gift has no place to go now. Well, you're wrong. Grandma Moses, at age 78, became a famous painter. But she grew up on a farm, and she lived her life on the farm. But what did she paint? She painted scenes of farm life. She painted scenes of New York up in the mountains of New York, and actually Staunton, Virginia. They grew up, so had some years there too. and just painted pictures of her memories of her childhood, of the landscape. You know, it's kind of funny because she used to embroider and quilt, and she would do this for other people, and she constantly was embroidering and quilting, and she had arthritis in her 70s, and it became more and more difficult. And so what happened was her sister, Celestia, encouraged her to turn her creative side to painting. And at age 78, she did. And she sold her first painting at age 79. And 1,500 works later, she became this prolific painter who's in museums all over the world. And her painting, one of her paintings sold, auctioned in 2006 for $1.2 million. This simple, she was such a simple person. And yet what was in her had to come out. So it's not too late. Laura Ingalls Wilder, some of you read her, your books growing up, right? The Little House in the Big Woods series. Remember Little House on the Prairie? I didn't read it. I just watched some of the old shows. Yeah, well, it was her first book was at age 65. And it was her daughter who had some experience in the publishing world that really helped her. That really helped her get her writings, and not only encourage her writings, but to get it to a larger audience. And so her daughter Rose was a big encouragement to her. And she wrote her last book. It was an 8-book series at age 76. I'm just saying, you've got time. You've got time. What is the gift? What is that gift in you? Now, you don't have to be world famous. But what if you can make the difference? Be the difference in somebody else's life. What if what you do fans the flame? What if it creates a spark? What if the fire in you helps light fires in others? It's certainly not too late. What's God speaking to you today? Don't just let it go by, because you know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. But let it live, let it come alive, and fan into flame. Spend time with the Lord. Do what He's calling you to do. Take the first step.